Word of Faith Netcast is on the air. Praise the Lord, this is Dr. Bill Bailey, and this is the Word of Faith Netcast. I'm so glad you could join us once again as we continue with our message that God's healing power is normal for believers. Now, what do we mean by that when I say it's normal for believers? It is normal for you as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ to lay hands on the sick and watch them recover. Yeah, God has you in a ministry, and that ministry is a ministry of reconciliation. Amen. You need to be telling folks about being born again, receiving Jesus Christ as their Lord. Amen. All you got to do, according to Romans 10, 8, 9, and 10, is tell them what the Word of God says right there in verse 9. What saith it? The Word is nigh thee. In your mouth and in your heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. That's verse 8. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, this is verse 9, confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. And that's just not saying the words. That's really meaning it and receiving him as your Lord. Confess him as Lord. Believe God raised him from the dead. You see, Dr. Bill, do you really have to believe in all that supernatural stuff? Absolutely. Believe God raised him from the dead, and thou shalt be saved, delivered, healed, protected, made whole, spirit, soul, body, financially, socially, delivered from all temporal evil. Hallelujah. You say, whoa, what is all that, Dr. Bill? That is the meaning of the word sozo. Yeah, S-O-Z-O is the transliteration, but it's got a little D sound in there, sozo. That's the meaning of that word, and I'm telling you what, that is what we need to be telling the world, that God's no longer holding their sins against them. If they'll receive Jesus Christ as their Lord, confess him as Lord, believe God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's the ministry of reconciliation. But beyond that, God has said that a believer, are you a believer? I'm a believer. Are you a believer? Well, the believer will lay hands on the sick, and the sick shall recover. And that's what we're talking about here in this teaching that was recorded at Faith and Victory Church. Oh, it's been almost a month ago now, maybe a little over a month ago at this point as I record this, but it's still hot off the press, praise the Lord, and it is good for you to see what is your right as a believer to minister healing. Lay hands on the sick, they shall recover, and we're going to get into that teaching right now.
We're teaching that healing power is normal for believers. So we've got to get it out of our mind that it was just Jesus being Jesus when he laid hands on the sick and they recovered. No, he was ministering as an Old Testament prophet, anointed by the Holy Ghost. Now, how do we know? I mean, we know that the Word of God says he laid aside his power and his authority. But how do we know it was him being anointed by the Holy Ghost is how he went about healing? Because Acts chapter 10, verse 38, which says that Jesus was anointed by the Holy Ghost, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the who? The devil. The devil's the oppressor, God's the healer. We know that. But see, it's good to rehearse these things. It's good to remind ourselves of these things. And it's certainly good for those folks out there on the internet watching me to hear these things, because some of them haven't heard it. But if you go to your very own Bible, don't just take the fact that I'm reading it out of my Bible. Go to your very own Bible and pick it up and turn to Acts 10:38, where it says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. Notice how it put it. I love the fact that God, if there's anybody who's aware of words and how those words are used, it's God. He doesn't say anything just because, or haphazardly. Notice how the Word of God says this. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, not Jesus the Christ. Why? Because the Christ means the anointed one in his anointing. He's talking about the man, Jesus. the man Jesus of Nazareth, the ordinary human being that he became when he laid aside all power, rights, and privileges as the Son of God before he came to the earth. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about, Jesus of Nazareth, went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. For God, now look at this. Think about this one. For God was with him. Well, Dr. Bill, of course he was with him. Jesus is God. Yeah, but he's not talking about him as God. He's talking about him as Jesus of Nazareth. That's what I mean about him choosing his words here. He's talking about the fact that this man, anointed of God, did what he did because he was anointed and because God was with him. If he was not anointed and God was not with him, he could not have healed. We know that it was possible for him to be in a position of not being able to heal because of what we read in Mark chapter 6, where it says he could there do no mighty work. See, I'm pulling all these scriptures and bringing them together so we can see a principle here. We can see something powerful. The only way we as believers can lay hands on the sick and have them recover, the only way we as believers can do it is if we do it the way Jesus did it. And not because he's the Son of God, although I got something real powerful to say about that here in just about a second. But because he's anointed by the Holy Ghost, and God's with him, and the healing power of God was present in his ministry. But now here's where I'm going to blow your mind. A lot of people say, well, Jesus could do that because he's the Son of God. Well, guess what? So am I. Woo! Uh-oh, here we go. Now he's done gone off the deep end. Done teaching like a cult now. No, I'm not. Come on. What does it say in the Word of God about Jesus? It says that he went to the cross, was buried, was raised again, the firstborn of many brethren. Who's the many brethren? I'm one of them. You're one of them. If you're born again, you're one of the many brethren. So guess what? That means we are children of God. Now see, the same person that wants to fuss at me for saying that I'm a son of God, what? They don't want to even hear that. They're like the Pharisees. You know, they get all bent out of shape, want to start stoning me. Now hold on. That same person in a different context, if I came to them and said, hallelujah, thank God, we are all children of God, they'd be going, yes, amen, brother, yes. But now you put it in the context of, I'm a child of God, so when I lay hands on the sick, they recover. They go, pop, no. Man, you can't have it both ways. If you're going to get upset because I'm a child of God over here, don't get upset because I'm a child of God over here. Okay? If you want to hold to the doctrine that only sons of God can lay hands on the sick and they'll recover, fine, I'll go with you. Because I are one. Amen? Now, let me make this clear. I am not God. Nobody should worship me. If you fall down before me and start worshiping me, I'm going to say, get up, boy, what's wrong with you? Because I'm not talking in that vein, all right? I don't have dark glasses. You know, nothing like that. No, what I'm saying is, it doesn't matter that I was not the pre-existing son of the living God. I'm now a son of God by adoption into his family through what Jesus did on the cross and at his burial and at his resurrection. So I am a son of God. Just as much as he's a son of God, except I was adopted into the family. Jesus was born into the family. But does that make, is an adopted child any less a child of his parents? No. No. Because that adopted child was selected to be part of that family. He was brought into that family. You see? I mean, if you really want to get down to it, that's a higher honor. You take somebody that was just physically born into a family, well, it was just a biological thing that happened. There's a lot of kids get born, and they weren't planned. You know what I'm saying? Doesn't mean they're any less important. Doesn't mean they're any less loved. But let's face it, they weren't planned. Now, our son, boy, he was not only planned, he was prayed over and believed for and everything else, because he was a faith project. We were told that we couldn't get pregnant. And it wasn't Belinda's fault. My sperm count was too low, and we were just told it ain't happening. And so we said, well, we won't accept that. We're going to pray and believe God. And that big old boy that was in here a while ago, before he went over to the youth service, you can see results. Hallelujah. I mean, praise the Lord. God's word works. But the thing about it is, if he had been an accident, we'd have still loved him just as much. But if he weren't born physically into our family, and we had selected him to be part of our family, and had gone through the process of having him be legally adopted, he would still have my name. He would still have every right to everything I own. He would be in every way my son. Just because he has my genetic material doesn't make him any more my son than an adopted son would be. And it's the same thing with God. Jesus is born of him, of God, physically, because the Word of God became the seed that was introduced into Mary supernaturally, and it took root and became an embryo that grew into a child that was delivered and is truly the actual physical Son of God. That's Jesus. But now I'm adopted into the family. The Word of God even says we are children by adoption. Hallelujah. Romans 8:29, right there up on the screen, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. Now that verse of Scripture does not mean he predestinated us to be born again. What it's saying, look at it, read it closely. What it's saying is those that are born again are predestinated to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn, Jesus, might be the firstborn among many brethren. The predestination part is that everybody that's born again, supernaturally, into the kingdom of God is predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, which means I'm going to put all my faith on being the image of Jesus. I need to love like Jesus. I need to talk like Jesus. I need to do what Jesus did. I need to lay hands on the sick just like he did. I need to be conformed to his image. Now, that's a tall order. I will not sell it short. It is a tall order. But it's something he's wanting us to do. He said we're predestinated to be conformed. Predestinated to be conformed into his image. Again, not predestinated to be born again. That is a choice. You decide whether or not you're going to receive the free gift. That free gift is available to anybody. People that are watching me right here on the internet, if you've never been born again, you can make the choice to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord. Romans 10, 8, 9, and 10 makes that very clear. What saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. And that's exactly what we're doing right now, is preaching the word of faith. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Word saved there is the word sozo, saved, delivered, healed, protected, made whole, spirit, soul, body, financially and socially, delivered from all temporal evil. That's a big word. That's a powerful word. And all of what's in that word, sozo, S-O-Z-O transliteration, but it's got a little D sound in the middle. Just a little one, sozo. That's just the Greek pronunciation part. But anyway, all of that meaning is in that word. Now, notice what it says. What saith it? The word is nigh thee, even thy mouth and thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, those are the two things you got to believe, thou shalt be sozoed. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation, or soteria in the Greek, which is another form of that word sozo. Saved, delivered, healed, protected, made whole, spirit, soul, body, financially, socially, delivered from all temporal evil. All of that is part of what is available to us as believers. And that's what we got to be conformed to. That's what we're going to be conformed to. You know, that is a predestinated fact. Whew, I like that. Yeah, once I'm born again, I will be conformed to his image. Now, it may not be on this side, but it'll be over there. I'll be conformed to his image. Now, I want it to be as much on this side as possible. You know, a lot of these folks that want to just sit back and go, oh, brother, I'm just living by grace, you know. I'm just going to sit here. I'm not going to do anything special. Matter of fact, I may just twiddle my thumbs and wait on the Lord. You know, that's not being conformed to his image. You need to get a running start about being conformed to his image. You ought to be doing what God wants you to do here on the earth by choice. And woo, you'll get blessed doing it. Hallelujah. All right. Matthew 21. Verse 14. I'm gonna rapid fire these scriptures, okay, because I just want you to see some principles here. Matthew 24:14. And the blind and the lame came to Jesus in the temple. And what did he do? He healed them. Did he hold out on them? Did he say, no, now, you guys come back tomorrow? No, he healed them when they came to him in the temple. Mark 1:34. Talking about Jesus once again. I know this is talking about Jesus, but it's still true. Mark 1:34. And he, Jesus, healed many that were sick of diverse diseases. Now, the good old King James here says divers diseases. That's not diseases that divers get when they go underwater. Okay? I'm sure somewhere out there there's some old country preacher that says, I don't know what them divers diseases is, but I tell you what, there's a whole lot of people must have had them. It's diverse. In the current vernacular, we'd put an E on the end of that divers, and may it would be diverse or multiple. They were sick of a whole lot of different diseases, okay? Remember we read earlier that it said he healed all their sicknesses and all manner of diseases. Well, that's just exactly what it's saying here, just a different way. That were sick of diverse diseases and cast out many devils and suffered not the devils to speak because they knew him. Luke 6:19. Now, this is going to be a lot of different scripture and a lot of different gospel references. In other words, of the four gospels. That's okay. Let's keep going. Luke 6:19. And the whole multitude sought to touch him. For there went what? Virtue out of him. And the virtue that went out of him healed them all. Now, the word virtue there is interesting because we hear the word virtue and to our ears, we think of virtuous, we think of truthfulness, we think of being a morally right person. And virtue means all those things. But in this particular case, the Greek, the way it's used, it's talking about a kind of power or anointing. Now, I'm going to say something here that I want you to think about. When you see the word virtue in Scripture, think of this. Tangible anointing. Something that when you touched him, something went out of him into them and they felt something. Now, I want to be clear about this. Just because they felt it doesn't make it more real than if they didn't feel it. Okay? The fact that they felt it is why they knew it was there, and when they touched him, they sensed a something came out of him into them. That's why they talked about it the way they did. Well, this something was the anointing. It was the power of God. And it was tangible. And that word tangible, we've heard Brother Hagin use the word tangible throughout the years that I listened to Brother Hagin minister the Word of God. But really what it means is you could touch it. If I were to take some Vaseline, I'll just use Vaseline, kind of a funny example, but anyway. If I take Vaseline, put it on my fingers, and I rubbed it, I could feel that. I could feel the slickness. And I could see the shininess on my finger. And that would be a tangibility. Well, the anointing is described as oil that they poured the oil on the head of the priest. And when they didn't do a little dab of do you kind of oil in the Old Testament. They poured the oil on the head of the priest and it went pouring down and saturated them, and it says it ran down their beard. That is tangible. You can feel that. Now, I like what I heard Brother Hagin say one time. He was saying that the reason that people use oil and put oil on their hand and touch the forehead is that they can feel that. And it becomes a point of contact, a point where they can release their faith. There's nothing special about the oil. What's special is the anointing, and the oil is a type and shadow of the actual anointing power. Okay? So when we lay hands on the sick, even though we're not necessarily using oil, that virtue, that tangible power can come out of us and go into them. And often, very often, people will feel that. They will sense that. They will go, "Ooh, what was that?" Because they sense something went out of you and came into them. What's in you is the anointing, the Holy Ghost, just as it was on Jesus. Yeah, but he was Jesus. Okay, we've already covered that. We're sons of God. We're anointed of God. Now, there are some that are more anointed than others. Yes. Because some people walk in special ministries of healing, for instance. Oral Roberts walked in a healing ministry. Catherine Kuhlman walked in a healing ministry. That's fine. There's a different anointing there because it's gifts, plural, of healings, plural, in the Greek. There's lots of different areas that those ministry gifts and spiritual gifts work in. But every Christian is anointed by the Holy Ghost. You know? And every Christian that is filled with the Holy Ghost is even more anointed with the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost is not only on us, he's in us. And he can come out of us and be manifested to people. Amen. All right. Wow. I hadn't got but a few scriptures here. Let's really jump into some here. Let's go to Acts chapter 8, verse 7. Now here it's talking about not Jesus, but the apostles, and Paul, the disciples, as they went through the book of Acts. Acts 8, 7 says, "For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies, and that were lame were" what? "Healed." Were these people in the book of Acts that were ministering, were they sons of God? Well, yes, in the sense of what we were talking about earlier. Just like we are sons of God. But they're not the divine Son of God from heaven. They're just guys ministering. But they laid hands on the sick. And look what happened. Unclean spirits came out of these people. They cast them out. Many that were taken with palsies and were lame were healed. These people aren't the divine Son of God. These people are sons and daughters of God, just like we are. Okay? I want to make these points. Acts 28, verse 8. "And it came to pass that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and a bloody flux." Now, you know, that sounds nasty. That's just nasty. Amen? A fever and a bloody flux. I don't even want to know what that was. "To whom Paul," now here's Paul. Now, was Paul a son of God? Yes, in the sense that he's born again. Yes, he's a son of God. But before he got born again, he was persecuting the church and was to the point that Jesus had to come and stand before him and say, "Boy, you going to hell today unless you get born again." He goes, "Yes, sir. What do you want me to do?" Well, Paul repented. That means change direction. He did 180 turn. Instead of persecuting the church, now he's preaching the gospel. So here's Paul. Paul enters in and he prays and he did what? He laid his hands on him. There's that physical contact. There's that point of contact where something came out of him and went into this guy and what? And healed him. "So when this was done, others also which had diseases in the island came and they were healed." They saw this guy healed and they said, "Hey, Paul, lay hands on me." Now, he's just a minister of the gospel. Or we'd put it this way, in our case, he's just a believer. All right, keep that in mind. Let's go a little further. James chapter 5. I know this isn't the Gospels or the book of Acts, but It is the New Testament. James is writing here, and he says in James 5:16, confess your faults one to another. We're talking here about what is commonly called body ministry. We, the body of Christ, are ministering to others in the body of Christ. That's not such a big deal, you know. People like to talk about body ministry like it's some special something. No, it's not. It's just Christians ministering to Christians. Don't get weird on me. Okay? So, confess your faults one to another. Pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Did that say the effectual fervent prayer of the only begotten Son of God, Jesus Himself, is the only one that avails much? No. It says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man. Well, guess what? I'm a righteous man. Not because of me, not because of my life, but because Jesus became to me the righteousness of God. I took His righteousness to me. He took my sin onto Him. He was made to be sin, the Scripture says, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So see, I've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. It is something that is an accomplished fact because of what Jesus did. Not because of what I did, because of what Jesus did. So since that is an accomplished fact, I am now the righteousness of God. I'm a righteous man, and my prayers avail much. Now it just so happens, again, I'm not lifting myself up here, I'm not saying anything special about me. It just so happens there are many instances and many examples in my own personal life where my prayers have availed much.
If you enjoyed that message today, we didn't quite finish it. We're gonna cap it off next time. But you need to go back and listen to the first part of this in last week's netcast, then this week's netcast, then the one we got coming up next time. Or if you want to hear the whole message, you can even do that by going to wofm.org. That's our website. And then we have a button at the top. Last time I said there was a button called Dr. Bill's Messages, I was thinking back to the old website. The new design, there's a button up there at the top called Resources. You click on that, and then there's an audio message archive link. You click on that from the drop-down menu right at the top of the page where it says Resources, and you will find all of our audio messages that we have out there back all the way to 1980. I'm going to try to get some of our even older ones back out there at some point. But for right now, that'll do. At any rate, from 1980 on, we have messages there. And that most recent message is there as well. You can download the audio. You can listen to it right there online as streamed audio. Whatever is easier for you to do, and then tell folks about that link so they can hear this message. Very important message. Also, of course, our regular radio program is heard on WOFR.org. I encourage you to check that out. We're on Monday through Friday, 11:30 a.m. Eastern Time, right after Brother Kenneth Copeland. And then, of course, on Sunday mornings, the audio of this video program is heard at 9:30 Eastern Time on WOFR.org. So check that out as well on the web, WOFR.org, as it says there on the screen. And of course, you can write us here at Word of Faith Ministries. Our address is Word of Faith Ministries, P.O. Box 5213 5213, High Point, North Carolina. The zip code 27262. And of course, as always, you can write me at my email address, Dr. Bill, DRBILL. Just take the doctor and the bill and run it together, DRBILL at WOFM.org. Trust you enjoyed the message today. Join us next time. Remember, until then, to fulfill the Word of God. The Word of Faith Netcast is brought to you by Word of Faith Ministries and our partners around the world.